Chavdal Ramad Aleph, Omar Mar. Omar of Yitzhak. Tefach Be'isha is in Erva. So this is about between 39s, I would say, from the bottom of Chavdal Ramad Aleph. Today's blood is Chav Hey, so we're running a drop behind. Omar of Yitzhak, Tefach Be'isha is in Erva. Seeing a tefach of skin on a woman is considered an erva. Says the Gemara, if it is that, it is prohibited to stare at it. That has nothing to do with her skin. Why, when declaring the spoils of the Midianites, when Klal Yisrael won them, and it says that the things they brought back, the pasuk goes through a whole list of things that they were able to get from the Midianite woman, and it says bracelets and nose rings and all these type of things, and it says akumas is, the way Rashi explains it here, is a chastity belt, is basically something that they used to pierce the ears, they used to pierce the woman, and this way, the only person who was able to undo it was the husband, or the father, and like a chastity belt, so that was, it was like a special key, like, you know, the knights, they used to wear a key around their, they used to wear a key around themselves, that was part of for their wives. You never heard a chastity belt? So, that's what they used to do. That's what Rashi says over here it is. Other places, it's referred to not as a chastity belt, but rather as either an ornament for down there or fancy underwear and things like that. Either or, it is something that is worn down there. That's listed in the same list as an earring. Why? To tell you, whoever looks at even the smallest finger of a lady for pleasure and derives pleasure from that, his eyes feast on that. It is as if he's looking at the makam hatayrif. It is as if he's looking at a completely undressed woman. So there's absolutely no difference. The isser is deriving pleasure from a woman's body. That occurs regardless of which part you're staring at. So therefore, you don't need a full tefach of skin. Ella, the Gemara says,
the Gemara is saying you don't need even less than a tefach.
Correct. Yeah, and it's nothing. Exactly, it's prohibited to look at the woman's body for pleasure, regardless of which part, even the finger is prohibited to look at. Someone who does a double take at a lady, he may as well go ahead on, go and look at whatever he wants. Ella beishtai ula kriyashma. I said over this Gemara in Yeshiva, and everybody's arguing. Of course, there's not levels. The level of pleasure one gets will increase the level of iser. So if one happens to get more level of pleasure from that than this, then that's an increase in the avera. But whatever, it doesn't matter what part you're looking at. The part is your eyes are feasting on a woman's body. So it doesn't matter which part the feast is coming from. It's a prohibition. That's the prohibition. So Ella Be'ishta, it's talking about this, that it says a tefach Be'isha is usher. It is talking about one's wife. In other words, he's not necessarily getting pleasure from looking at it. Ula Kriyashma. And it is talking about the prohibition to say Kriyashma or Brachas. So if a person is around, let's say for example, let's say a lady doesn't cover her hair, let's say in the bedroom or whatever, and you want to say Kriyashma, you want to say a Bracha. You know, you want to open a can of Coke, whatever. You can't say bracha looking at her. You have to turn away. Amar Rav Chisda, shoik b'isha erva. A thigh by the lady is an erva. Shenemar galei shoik avdinos. In other words, even though we're saying a tefach, is also the question is a tefach where? You're allowed to look at your wife's face. You're allowed to look at your wife's hands. So I would like to look at your wife's knees. So what's also a shoik? So shayla exactly what a shoik is. Is it below the knee? Is it above the knee? The pshuta we paskin, it's above the knee in this case. Shenemar galei shoik, as it states in the pasuk, I reveal your shoik avri naharis, those who are crossing the river. V'chsev tagel ervascha, and it says right, it says tagel ervascha right there. The next pasuk says tigel ervascha, reveal your thought, reveal your erva. V'gam tirech ervascha. So we see that the word galei is referred to shoik and erva. Amar Shmuel kol b'isha erva. the voice of a lady is considered an erva. Nafka mina, one can't listen to somebody else's wife sing, and even while his wife is singing, he cannot say the benching. So there's a question, of course, how is a lady allowed to bench? Some people, you know, the family benches together. Baruch atah Hashem. If she's singing, you can't bench. The answer is that's not called singing. It's called chanting. My own heter. But if she's singing Zmiras, so then there's a question, how is she allowed to sing Zmiras? Because Zmiras have sometimes Hashem's name in it. Those who say Hashem's name, are you allowed to sing with your wife? So again, there's a special heter for Zmiras. I don't remember exactly what it is. But if she's singing Zmiras, you cannot bench. You have to, because she's showing an erva. Now, it's not that it's us, so you're allowed to look at your wife's hair, but you just can't say a bracha while you're doing it. Kikolech arav imarech na'ave, omar av sheish is sa'ar b'isha erva, the hair of an isha is an erva, shenemar sa'arech ke'eder ha'izim. And again, not that it's us to look at. Just that once, you have to recognize that it is an erva, umemela, you can't say a bracha in that presence. It's very okay on a plane. Persons on a plane, or around goyim anywhere. There's a bunch of people that are wearing clothes that are revealing erva. You can't say a bracha, even if it's not affecting you. Let's say it does not affect you. You still can't say a bracha. So when saying a bracha on a plane, one has to either look directly down, or if he could, he faces the window. What? So closing eyes is not so simple. Depending on what type of, depending on the level of erva, there's machlik is also where the closing eyes help. I believe, depending on the level of erva, there's different levels of what's permitted, what's not. So some closing eyes, you may have to turn your face, actually. Amar v'chanina, ani ra'isi as Rebbe, I saw Rebbe shetala tfilav, that he hanged or hung his tefillin. Meisvei, hatayla tfilav yitulu chayev, really? He hung his tefillin? But it says who hangs his tefillin is yitulu chayev. He's basically hanging his life. Darshe chamuras, or those who darsh in these type of psukim, these type of drushes, state, your life is hanging in front of you. That's somebody who's referring to somebody who hangs his tefillin, doesn't treat his tefillin with respect. The Gemara says, like Kasha, it depends on how you hang it. If you hold the tefillin by the straps and the actual tefillin is swinging, that's a problem. Rebbe was holding the tefillin and the straps were swinging. That's okay.
When did he do it? He did it by before going to the washroom.
Either that, yeah. Well, he was taking it on, putting it off, right?
So, rather than put it on a peg or a stick hanging in the air, you're better off putting it on the ground.
So, the Gemara's answer is that it depends on how you hang it. If you're holding or you're placing the actual tefillin on the hook, or you're holding it in your hand, and the straps are hanging, that's okay. They have the straps hanging, that's okay, and that's what he did.
But otherwise it's better to put it on the ground?
I don't know about it to put it on the ground. We said that you have to hold it in your hand. That was the Eitzah.
Even going to the washroom.
Even going to the washroom, that's what we said. We said that, that's the Gemara says that. It's about, if a person goes to the bathroom and doesn't have anywhere to put a tefillin, he's allowed to put a tefillin in the thing. A person, you know, you see something come out of the bathroom with tefillin on. Well, with tefillin, and say, "What are you doing?" This is what the Gemara says. Plus, I'm saved from Mazikin. So the Gemara, alternatively, the Gemara says it doesn't matter whether the Ritzuya is hanging, whether the actual tefillin is hanging, it's usher. What does it mean that Rebbe hanged or hung his tefillin? It means bekista. It meant in the bag. He used to hang it in his bag. So the Gemara says, "Ihachi, my lemem, what's the chiddush? Ma would the same. I would have thought to say tiboi hanacha kisefer taira. I would have thought to say that it needs a hanacha like a sefer taira. It needs to be placed down like an official hanacha. Kamash malan that you don't hang a sefer taira. You don't carry a sefer taira in a bag. You hold the sefer taira. So I would think maybe you have to do that for tefillin also. Kamash malan no. And that's why we see tefillin that have straps and things like that. It's tefillin bags. I mean." I saw Rebbe shegihek, which is he burped. Upihek, which is he yawned. Vinis atesh, is he sneezed. Viruk, and he spit. I doubt it was all during one Shemoneh Esrei, but I saw over time that he did this. Otherwise, maybe he was just having a bad case of the flu. Umimashmesh bebigdai, and he also rubbed his clothes to get a bug off of him. But one time his talus fell off, he did not put his talus back on. And when he yawned, he put his hand on his chin. He covered his mouth. Meisvei questions the Gemara. Hamashmiya koyle b'tfilasi from the following brayso, which states a bunch of things. Hamashmiya koyle b'tfilasi, somebody who davens out loud, harezim miktani amuna. He is a non-believer. If the reason he's doing it is because he wants to make sure Hashem hears him, so he doesn't whisper. He says, well, Hashem might not hear a whisper. So then he's miktani amuna. Hamagbiha koyloi, if somebody says out loud, not stam voices his tfilas, but he yells them, hamagbiha koyloi b'tfilasi, harezim minaviyeh ha-sheker. He is like trying to broadcast this to everybody else. He's a Navi Hashaker. Nobody told Hashem is not telling him to tell anybody else everything else. Migahik, somebody who burps, umifahik or yawns, somebody who's a migasi ruach. That's like a bal gaiva. Hamisatesh betfilasei, somebody who at this point sneezes, simin raloi. It is a bad sign for him. V'yesh emrim nikrhu shehu mechuar, and there are those that say that it is clear that he is not a great guy. Haruach betfilasei, somebody who spits during the tefillah, kilu ruach b'fnei melech. It's like he spit in front of Hashem. So now, there's a whole bunch of things that it says in this braisa that's also to do, and every single one Rebbe did. So bishlam migahik umifahik, I could explain to you the burping and the yawning. That's loikasha, because kan la oinse kan la ritsoine. This is where it happens by itself. If you can't hold back a yawn, or you can't hold back a burp, so then it's okay, and that's what Rebbe did. And kan la ritsoine, here's where you're doing it, like, you know, yawning, like sometimes the kids do in my class, like, bruh. Like, if you have to yawn, just yawn quietly. But you don't have to, you know, make a whole production about making a yawn. And similarly, you don't want to do that in front of Hashem. So that's where it's a problem. That's why it's migasei haruach, those who yawn bal gaivadik. And similarly to burping. You know, you let out a large belch, which is, you know, a sign of a good, satisfying meal and, like, you're in a good mood. Okay. That's if you're a walrus, but not if you are a human, davening Shemoneh Esrei. So if it happens, it happens. But you can keep them polite and a minimum, you know, expulsion of air, not a mating call from a walrus. Ella misatesh amisatesh kasha. But the question is, misatesh amisatesh is a question. So the Rebbe said that he used to do it, and yeah, it says in this price that it's not a good thing. And the Gemara answers there's two types of misateshes, and they mean totally different things. One is mutter, one is not. One is should be avoided. Misatesh, misatesh. Namale kasha, kan milamala, kan milamata. One is a burp. Oh, sorry. A sneeze. One is a sneeze. Burp we already did. This is a sneeze. One is a sneeze from above, and a regular, normal, healthy sneeze. And one is kan milamata. One is a sneeze. Good morning, kan milamata. Here it's not a sneeze, but it is passing gas. And the Amar of Zera Hamilsa Ibloili Be Rav Hamruna, this thing I absorbed from Be Rav Hamruna Vitakilili, and it is worth to me, Kikule Talmude, like all my learning, Hamasatish Bitfilas, or somebody who sneezes during his tefillah, Simin Yafalai, this is a great thing to know, because from now on, every time you sneeze during davening, you feel good. Simin Yafalai, it is a good sign. Keshem Sha'isin Lay Nachas Ruach Malamata, Kach Isin Lay Rat Nachas Ruach Malamata, the same way that Hashem is making his sneezes feel good, so the same way Hashem is giving him a sneeze down here, so he's also giving him something good up in Shemayim. So it's a good thing to sneeze. If a person has a cold and he's merely sneezing as a sign of his cold, I don't know if we say this, but if it's just a random sneeze in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei and generally for the day you're okay, then you could take it as a good sign. The Gemara's last question is Ela Ruk Aruk Kasha. It says that Rebbe used to spit, and yet it says in this price it's not a good idea to spit. The Gemara answers Ruk Aruk Nami Lo Kasha. That is also not a question, because Efshe Kid Rebbe Yehuda the Amr, because it's possible to like Rebbe Yehuda said the Amr Rebbe Yehuda Haya Omer Betfila. If a person is it's possible to do like Rebbe Yehuda said. Rebbe Yehuda said if a person is davening, then he's damen le'reik, and he has his mouth got full of phlegm or whatever, and he has to expel it, mavliya betalisa, he should expel it into his talus. V'im talus noahu, and if it's a good talus, he doesn't want to put it into there. So mavliya ba'afra kasusai, he put it in his headscarf. Again, they had this headscarf that was used for many things. And he should expel it into there. So that's what Rebbe did. Rebbe put it into his, he did it discreetly into his headscarf, that was okay. But what's not proper is if a guy does the whole chatui onto the floor right in front of him, that is disrespectful for him, for Hashem. Ravina havei koi achayrit Rav Ashi. Ravina was standing in front, behind Rav Ashi in his damen le'roik, and it sounds like, I'm not sure which one had the roik. he had to spit. Paski la'achari, he spat behind him. You do not hold this that we just said in the name of Rabbi Yehuda Mavliya ba'afra kasusai, that you should place it, you should spit discreetly into your headscarf. I would get grossed out by that. I can't even, not only can't I do it into my talus, I can't even do it into my headscarf. I'd be, you know, nauseated by it, and therefore I did it behind me. At least I didn't do it in front of me. I did it as discreetly as possible. Okay. Hamashmiya kailubit filosa hereza miktani amuna. This somebody who says his davening out loud, he is considered a ketani amuna. Amar Rav Huna loyshanu elas yochel lechaven es libay balachash. That's only if you can concentrate when you are saying it quietly. Aval ein yochel lechaven es libay balachash. But if you cannot concentrate quietly, then it is mutter to say it out loud. V'hani bila b'yochel. That is only if you're davening b'yichidus. Aval by yourself. Aval b'tzibur. If you're part of a tzibur, then don't daven out loud, because asi lemitra tzibura, you could come and disturb the tzibur. Sometimes you have these people who daven, you know, slightly loudly, every now and then. You know, they come around. So occasionally, I didn't do it myself, but somebody was, I was next to somebody, and he's like, Amen. Every time the guy got to like, Baruch Atah Hashem, Goel Yisrael, Amen, Rafayinu Hashem, and Rafayinu. So, you know, he gave him the hint that he's davening a bit loudly and disturbing other people.
I find that
obnoxious.
Because you're supposed to say Kriya Shema, you can hear it, but sometimes right. The guy next to me says it so loud,
right.
It disturbs my Kriya Shema.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So a person should always be aware that he is part of a minion, and not to disturb others, but who are doing davening. But if a person is davening b'yichidus, and he feels that once in a while it's gishmak to, you know, daven out loud, then that's permitted. I have this type of. Sometimes, if you're davening out, you know, out loud, b'yichidus, then it does help the concentration. Not if a person's doing it because he wants Hashem to hear louder, that's ketan emuna. But if he's doing it because it helps concentration, that's okay. Rabbi Abba have kamishtamet minei to Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Abba was avoiding Rabbi Yehuda. Because Rabbi Abba wanted to go to Eretz Yisrael. They both lived in Bavel. Rabbi Abba wanted to make Aliyah. He wanted to go to Eretz Yisrael. But Rabbi Yehuda held that al pi halacha, it's us to go to Eretz Yisrael. Dam Rabbi Yehuda, kal ha'olam mi Bavel Eretz Yisrael, whoever goes from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, over ba'aseh. He's violating a mitzvah's aseh. Shenemar, as it states in the pasuk, Bavela yuvau. I'm going to bring you to Bavel, v'shama yihyu, and there you will remain. Ad yoyim pakti oysam nu'um Hashem, until the day that I redeem you. So Rabbi Yehuda held that was an explicit command, that you must stay in Bavel. You're not allowed to return by yourself until the days of Mashiach. And therefore, he didn't want to go to Rabbi Yehuda, because he didn't hold of this. And but nevertheless, he didn't want to have an explicit command. It's like it's like a person I know went to Rav Chaim Kanievsky. You know, if you don't want to rename if you have a daughter named Shira and you don't want to rename the daughter Shira and you're not planning on it, so then don't tell him that your daughter's name is Shira, because then you have an explicit command. Now what are you going to do?
How does he open that say? This pasuk is not in the
Torah. It could mean it's true. It's a neviim, but in echanami, but it would mean mid rabbanan, mid dinei neviim. That is true. So if you want to rely on the other poskim that you can have a daughter's name Shira, so then don't go and tell them that you have a daughter's name Shira. Now you have the Gadol Hador telling you to change your daughter's name. What are you going to do now? So Amar Ezel, I know somebody part of the Kohel went to had a bad dream, had to do with moving to Eretz Yisrael. What should he do? So Ruchaim tells him, this type of thing, you know what Ruchaim's going to say. Move to Eretz Yisrael. And he went, and Rav Chaim, like I said, move to Eretz Yisrael. Now what? You're going to go uproot your whole family to Eretz Yisrael. So the guy was all nervous. He went to Rav Chaim Pinchas Scheinberg. Rav Chaim said, don't worry about it. It's okay. You don't have to move. But why are you getting yourself in trouble? You know, if you're not planning on it, then don't do it. So that's basically what he was doing.
Where does Rashi say it's like a Avodah Zarah, outside of Israel? He brings it
down. Yeah, it's a Gemara. It's not a Rashi.
But he brings it down from the sources, from the Torah.
Yeah.
So it's opposite of what he's saying here.
No, he's at...
He's saying you should stay in Babylon.
He has a pasuk. He has a pasuk. Because they're in Galus.
Well, Rashi has a pasuk too.
I don't understand your question.
What I'm saying is there is something wrong with saying that.
He has a pasuk that says that you have to do it. There's a pasuk that says it. There's difference of opinions. There's a difference of opinion of how to do it. Even if it is like, even if it's like of a desire, there's nothing to do. There's a pasuk. Hashem brought them to Babel. Now, and Hashem said, stay there. According to him, Hashem said, stay here. What do you want me to do? Imagine. Some say that it doesn't mean that you have to wait for Mashiach to come. That's the way that we translate. This is a long sukkah in Ksubas, exactly how to type the sukkah. Amar Ezel, he says, I'm going to hide out in the back of the shir. I'll hear one thing, and we'll see what happens. Ve'eshma mine milse, mi beis vada, from his, his beis vad, the place where he gives his shirim, and the v'hadar apek, and he's about to go on the trip, so I'm going to hide out in the back of the shir, and I'll hear one thing before I go. V'hadar apek, and afterwards I'll leave. Ezel, he went, ashkeche letana, de katane kameder, Yehuda, he found somebody staying over his learning, sitting in front of Rabbi Yehuda. Haya emir betilav, somebody standing in tefilav, in this atesh, and this case, it means in a status from below, meaning he passed gas. Mamten, he should wait until the smell dissipates. V'chayzer, and then he can continue. Umispalel. Ikid the Amir, there are those that say, Haya emir betilav, somebody's davening. Ubikesh lihisatish. But he feels the need to release some gas. Marchik, he should distance himself, walk away during a middle shman esrei. Good morning. La'achayr dalad amas. Backwards, Dalarams, umis atesh, and then release it over there. Umamten, and wait achichal haruach until the gas goes chozer umispalel, and then he should continue davening. But Omer, and he should say, now since there is a hefsek, anyways, he can continue with this tefillah in middle of Shemoneh Esrei, since he already made a small hefsek. Ribbono shel olam, yitzartanu nekavim nekavim Hashem, you created us with nekavim chalulim chalulim kolu v'yadu lefenecha, it is revealed before you. Cherpa seinu, our cherpa, embarrassment, uklima seinu, bechayenu, during our lifetime, ubacharis seinu, after our lifetime, is rima v'saleya, is bugs and worms. And then you pick up from where you left off. So since you already made a hefsek, you walked and you said this, then you're allowed to say this, and you waited, so then you're allowed to say this tefillah as well also. The halacha is during Shemoneh Esrei, if a person needs to, let's say something very disturbing, during Shemoneh Esrei, you're allowed to go ahead and walk. You're allowed to, if you're davening Shemoneh Esrei, you're allowed to make a hefsek in middle. Let's say a person's davening Shemoneh Esrei and somebody very important comes to the door or something like that, and you're not going to say or anything like that, but he's banging on the door. Let's say your kid is banging on the door, it's minus 40 outside. So, not because Sakonis Tefashis, obviously Sakonis Tefashis, you can do whatever you want. Not Sakonis Tefashis, but it's, your kid is going to be disturbing Shemoneh Esrei. You're gearing up for a good 20 minute Shemoneh Esrei, and the kid's banging on the door. So you're allowed to go during the tefillah, open the door, and go back to your place. Or, for example, one time I was standing by the Kaisel, and as soon as I started Shemoneh Esrei, I was gearing up for a nice long Shemoneh Esrei, and suddenly one of the Rebbes came, and they parked their huge throne of a chair right next to me, and I see them setting up, I heard tons of commotion, so I took a little peek. They set up, they cordoned off this entire area of the Kaisel, and right next to me. And I see thousands of Hasidim coming, and they're packing this area right around they were cordoned off. So there was a huge area cordoned off, the chair, and me. And then I heard all the Gaboyim, they're all huddling, okay, as soon as he goes, they're all huddling two steps right behind me. Okay, how long is he going to take already? And I was like, I just started my Shemoneh Esrei, I wanted 25 minutes. And then, so 5 minutes in, the guy's like, no, how will he? And they're talking right behind me, how long is this guy going to take already? So, the kid, sir, I just left it right in the middle of my Shemoneh Esrei. I was not going to concentrate over there. Besides, back then, that might have been Sekhonis Tepashas. Anyways, but you're allowed to leave in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei if something that is that disturbing happening right around you.
Or a mother who's in the middle, whose baby's crying.
Yeah, something like that. If your baby's crying, all he needs is a pacifier. Yeah. So you're allowed to go in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei. So too over here. If I only came to hear just this, it would have been enough. All right. Tan Rabbanan Haya Yashin Betaloisi, if somebody is sleeping in his talus, Ve'eino Yachal Lahitzis Reishi Mipnei Hatzina, and he cannot even put his head out. So in other words, he's totally wrapped up in his talus. He's not wearing any clothes, and he is totally wrapped up in his talus, which is his blanket in this case, and he cannot even stick his head out of his talus because he is so cold. So he should chitzitz betalis al tzavar, he should wrap it around his neck. So this way there is a hefsik between his head and his erva, v'kayra kriyashma, and he can read kriyashma in that position. In other words, not even wearing any clothes. V'yesh emrim alibay, some say he should, instead of wrapping it around his neck, but he should wrap it around his heart. Says the Gemara of a Tanakam, according to Tanakam, who says the neck, Hare libay raya serva. Are we not concerned that his heart sees, is in the same, raya in this case is euphemistical, is in the same space with no hefsik as his erva? This is why Hasidim go ahead and they have a special gartel. They want to have a hefzik between the erva, a special hefzik. Not a belt is not enough. They needed something that is specially made for a hefzik. Al tigan. So the Tanakama Reliber is erva. So answers the Gemara. Sober. The Tanakama holds. He's of the opinion that libay roya is erva is mutter. That it's not a problem so long as your head is not seeing your erva. It's your heart is able to see your erva. Amar Huna, Amar Rav Yochanan. Haya mahalach b'mevuah yisam metu nafais. If somebody is walking in a mavoi, in an alley that is full of dirt, like we said back in the day, bathrooms were not like we have today, so people used to just go wherever. So a person is walking in an alley behind the house and it's full of feces and things like that. So meniach yadav al piv, he should cover his mouth so that his mouth, the words, don't see the erva, the feces, and the kaira kriyashma and kri kriyashma like that. I swear by the name of Hashem. If Rabbi Yochanan would tell me this, you're telling it to me in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. Even if Rabbi Yochanan himself would tell it to me, I would not listen to him. Those that say that this conversation happened in the name of Rabbi Shub and Levi. Somebody's walking in these unclean alleys. He should put his hands on his mouth and read Kriyashma. I swear, if Rabbi Shub and Levi had said it to me himself, I would not listen to him. Says the Gemara, Umiyam Rav Huna, did Rav Huna really say that it's permitted to do such a thing? This is prohibited for a Tamil Chacham to stand in an unclean place because he's going to be thinking of Tyra. And Lafisha E. Evshalila Ahmed Belay hear her Tyra, since it's impossible for him as a trained, his mind is always trained to think in Tyra, he's going to be thinking in Tyra, and therefore he's going to cause himself to be thinking thoughts of Tyra in an unclean place. Now, if you're telling me that it's permitted even to read Kriyashma in such a place, then what's the problem? The Gemara answers, Loi kasha, kan ba'imid, kan ba'mahalach. It depends on if you're walking or going. If you're standing still, that's when it's prohibited. But if you're walking through and you're not parked there, then it's okay. Then Rav Huna holds that it's okay. Okay, that's Rav Huna's opinion. Now Rav Yechanan's opinion. But Rav Huna said in the name of Rav Yechanan. Umi ab Rav Yechanan hachi, did Rav Yechanan say this? V'hamar rabba bar bar chana am Rav Yechanan, b'chol makam mutu lahar b'divrei Torah, in every place it is permitted to think about Torah, chutz mi beis hamerchatz, except in a bathhouse, umi beis hakisei, or in a bathroom. And, assumably, the a mavoi that is matunaf as well. So we see that there is a problem with thinking in Torah in an unclean place, and certainly reading Kriyashma. The chitim, and if you want to say that, well, we just differentiated between standing there and walking through there. And hachanami, here too, we can differentiate kan ba'omid, kan ba'malach. Here, where it's prohibited, it's talking about where he's standing still, he's parked there. Or in kan ba'malach, here it's where he's walking through. But can you really say that's the case? Any, but I have another story with Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Avo was walking behind Rabbi Yochanan, and he was in the middle of reading Kriyashma, and when he reached an unclean alley, Ishtik, Rabbi Avo stayed silent. And Amalei Rabbi Yochanan, after he finished walking through the alley, he went over to Rabbi Yochanan and he said, "Laheichan ahader, to where should I go back? To where I was up to, or should I start again from the beginning?" And Rabbi Yochanan responded with a halacha. Amalei, im shahisa, if you waited, kedei ligmaras kula, the amount of time that it would take you to finish the entire Kriyashma, let's say 5 minutes, however it is, chozer l'reish, then return back to the beginning. So, question mark. So what we see is that Rabbi Yochanan told him not to read Kriyashma. So you cannot differentiate like we differentiated before. Here it's talking about where he's parked, here it's talking about where he's walking through. And the Gemara says, no. You could differentiate. That is the differentiation. Rabbi Yochanan's statement that you can't say it is talking about where you're parked, and Rabbi Yochanan's statement that you could say it is talking about where you're walking through. This thing that he told Rabbi Avo not to go back to the beginning, he said, Hachi Kamara, I never told you to stop. Halacha lemaisa, you stopped. So litidi. This is what he was telling Rabbi Avo. Lidid, according to me, lay spearly. I don't hold you have to stop at all. But Lididcha, but according to you, the spear lecha that you held you have to stop. So then it depends, and you stopped imshahisa kedei ligmar eskula. If you waited for the amount of time that you have to that it would take you to say the entire Kriyashma, then chayzel
roish. Did Moshe Rabbeinu in Mitzrayim leave the Mitzrayim because it was so filthy? So he said you couldn't pray there. So why didn't he just walk if you can? He was talking to God and he had to leave because it was so filthy. He couldn't pray in Israel.
But no, because walking through it and remaining there, I think, is considered parking. A guy can't stay in the Beis HaKisa and then walk back and forth and say, you're parked in the Beis HaKisa, you happen to be walking there. So if his plan wasn't to...
was not because it was filthy, it was because of Avodah Zarah.
Yeah, but even still, it doesn't matter. Even still, he's staying and walking in the same place, he's parked in that place, just because he's doing the jumping jacks doesn't mean... Right?
So, he has to
if he was walking out, then maybe at that point we can ask.
Well, just has to walk 4 amos. We said that's 4 amos away. And then back and forth.
No, the home Mitzrayim was telling me. He left the home
Mitzrayim. If he's able to walk, 4 amos would have been good enough.
He has to walk out because if he's not planning on walking out.
It's not considered parking if he walks 4 amos.
It is. If the Mavoi Matunif is 5 miles long and he's walking back and forth in the Mavoi Matunif. Yeah, that's. Because then he's always there. It's a good question, right here. Tani kavas the Rav Huna. Tani kavas the Rav Chista. We have a brayse like Rav Huna and a brayse like Rav Chista. Tani kavas the Rav Huna. Hamahalach b'mivuay samuf between office. If somebody's walking through these unclean alleys, meniach yaday al piv v'yikor kriyas shma, he should just place his hand on his mouth so his mouth at least doesn't see the mavo emutinov and read kriyas shma in that state. And tani kavas the Rav Chista. We have a brayse like Rav Chista who refused to accept that. Hamahalach b'mivuay samuf between office. If somebody is walking through these unclean alleys, lo yikor kriyas shma, he should not read kriyas shma. V'loy oida. Not only that, elushim hayakayra. If he is reading it uba and he's going paisak, he should stop. Loy pasak. Because that's where you're reading the Kriya Shema. So at least you should go like this. At least the Kriya Shema itself should have some sort of hefzik. As far as I understand, if they say a different chat, tell me. Loi pasak mai, if he doesn't stop, what's the halacha? Amar of Miyasha, Briar, Braid, Rav Yeshua, Ben Levi, Allah, Akaz of Aymar, and him the pasak says, V'gam, ani nosati lahem, chukim, loi tevim, u'mishpatim, loi yichi behem. And them also, it's like Hashem complaining about Klal Yisrael, I gave them laws and mishpatim that they did not keep. Rabbi Yosi Amar Hayom Moishchei Ha'avayin Bechevli Hashav. They are bringing sin Bechevli Hashav with strings that are not even strong. I gave them. They're very easily breakable. They bring sin upon themselves. This person, you're bringing sin upon yourself in such an easy way, such a small string by saying Torah in the wrong place. Ravada Barava Amar Third Sort Amar Mehacha Ki Dvar Hashem Baza. They disrespected the word of Hashem. The impasak mas scharei, and if you do stop, what's the schar? Amar Rabbi Abahu, Allah v'kasavayim. The Torah talks about him and says, "Ubedvar hazet ta'arichu yamim." With this thing, you lengthen your days. Amar Rav Huna, ha'isa talisa chagura le'al masnaf. If a person has his talis, he's wearing his shirt. He's wearing a loincloth, basically. But basically, he's just wearing pants. He has no shirt on. Muta likras krishma. It is permitted to read krishma in that case. The erva is covered. And there's a hefzik between his lave and his halacha lamaisa. And there's hefzik. A person's wearing an underwear or bathing suit, it's okay to read Kriya Shema in such a case. If somebody has a talis of a beged or leather or sack, chagura, tied onto his loins, so he's wearing underwear or anything like that, his bathing suit, mutter likoris Kriya Shema, it is permitted to read Kriya Shema. Aval tefila, but for Shemana Esrei, there, it's not proper to go shirtless. And therefore, nothing to do with the erva, but rather, it's improper to be improper. Ad shichas es libay, a person should cover his heart. You gotta come in with a shirt. No shirt, no shoes, no service. Va'amar Rav Huna.
It'll say it's man of davening, and he has no other clothes.
I don't know if we're talking about Auschwitz here. I'm saying if it's not like daven. If there is a situation where let's say at the beach, let's say. B'dieved mamish, where a person can't do, let's say mamish can't get anything done. I'm not sure, b'dieved, what a person should do. Mm-hmm. Obviously, if it's an onus, then, you know, if a person is in a situation, you know, especially in the camps, then I would think that's okay. But if a person puts himself in that situation, let's say a beach, and he left his shirt in the car, and it's, you know, a half an hour trek over hot sand to get there, I'm not sure. Va'amar Rav Huna, shokach v'nichnas b'tfilin the Beis HaKisa. Somebody forgot and went into the Beis HaKisa with tefillin on. Manich yaday alein, he should put his hands on them, ad sheyigmar, until he finishes. The Gemara says, ad sheyigmar, sakadetach, until you finish entirely. Elik, once you're finished. Elik, da'amar Rav Nachman b'yitzlak, ad sheyigmar amud harishon, until the first flow stops. You're going to sit there for 5 minutes, but until that first flow stops. So then says the Gemara says, V'lifsek la'ater, stop it. Hold yourself back. You're able to stop it. I'm saying you have muscles down there. The Gemara says, V'leikum, and stand up. Or hold it up. The Gemara says, Mishum de Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. That's a medical reason why we don't want to do that. Because what Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel says, the Tanya Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, Omer Amut HaChoyzer, if a person if a person holds back that first, you know, it clenches his sphincter muscles, that first flow of feces, of excrement as it comes out, and he brings it back into his body, maybe it's ultimately the hadroiken, can bring somebody to a hadroiken, a disease that, it's called hadroiken, and Rashi says that it swells the stomach. And silenachazer, if somebody stops himself from the flow of urine, maybe it's ultimately the yarkin can bring a person to. Rashi says the word is galnitza. Sometimes we translate this as jaundice. Itmar. Soya al besore. If somebody has some feces on his flesh, or yadei munachas bebezekise, part of his body is in the bezekise or the muavo hamatunaf. Most of his body isn't, but some of it is. What's the din? Rav Huna amar mutar likreis kriyishma. It is permitted to read Kriya Shema. So long as your head is in a clean place, you're good. Rav Chisda Amar also likreis Kriya Shema. It is prohibited. Amar Rav, my time with Rav Huna. What is the reasoning for Rav Huna? The siv kal ha-neshama ta'alalka. The neshama is what is praising Hashem. And as long as your head and mouth is clean, then your neshama is clean. Rav Chisda Amar also likreis Kriya Shema. My time with Rav Chisda. What's the reasoning of Rav Chisda? The siv, because it states in the pasuk, Kol atzmoisai toimarna Hashem mikamaycha. Because it says, all my bones will say Hashem who is like you. So we see that the praise comes from the whole body. Itmar, it was stated, Reach ra sheyesh lo ikar. If you have a reach ra, a bad smell that has an ikar, that has a source. Meaning, it's not that somebody just passed gas and just but there's actually there's a diaper there with feces in it. Rav Huna Amar Marchik Dalad Amos Vekara Kriya Shema. As long as you go away 4 amos from the ikar, and then you read Kriya Shema, even though you could still smell it. So this is very nogea if a person is around a kid with a diaper and things like that. Rav Chisda Amar, nope, you got a Marchik Dalad Amos Mimakam Shapasak HaReach. You gotta be 4 amas away from the place that the smell stops. And there you read Kriya Shema. Very nagea for benching if anybody has little kids around. Tanya Kavasa de Rav Chisda, very bright like Rav Chisda, lo yikra adam Kriya Shema. A person is not allowed to read Kriya Shema, lo kineget says adam, not next to feces of a man. Lo kineget says klavim, or feces of a dog. Lo kineget says chazir, or kineget feces of a pig. Lo kineget says tarnakelim, or not kineget feces of a chicken. Lo kineget says ashbe, and not kineget a garbage. Shereichara, which stinks. This is also no gear for those who walk in the alley and say tefillas during the walk in the alley. If any of those garbages officially stink, some, a lot of them don't have the level of stinking. You don't walk through the alley and like, oh, this stinks. So you don't really have to worry. But if it's sometimes they stink, let's say on garbage there, then it's not pasha that you could say any brachas there. If it's in a different area, then yoshev b'tzida v'kari Kriya Shema, then you're allowed to sit next to it and read Kriya Shema so long as it's not stinking. The imlav, and if not, marachik mole, and if it's in the same rishus as you, and you are facing it, then you have to walk far away that you can't see it anymore. Chen l'tfila, and similarly for tefila. Reich Rashi yesh lo ikar, a reich that has an ikar, marchik dalet amas b'makam ha-reich v'kari. You have to distance yourself 4 amas from where the place of the smell stops, and then v'kari Kriya Shema. Rava comments on the fact that it says,
if you cannot smell it, then it's okay to be in the area?
Well, because you have a bad sense of smell?
Yeah.
I think they say not. I think they say that you have to go with the average sense of smell. And that's what they say.
How do you know what it is if you can't smell
well,
it?
Well, yeah, if you personally, but let's say, for example, I mean, me personally, I have a terrible sense of smell, and any time my kid has a smelly diaper, I don't smell it. Not anytime, I smell it sometimes, but I'm saying, but like, it'll be totally normal for my wife to say, what, you don't smell it? It stinks over here. So then I won't be allowed to bench, but if I don't know, I don't know, I'm saying. Amrav, the halacha does not follow this brisa which states that Tzoyas Klavim and Tzoyas Tarnagoyim is the problem. Ela ki hada tanya lo yikra adam kriya shema lo kenega Tzoyas Adam, lo kenega Tzoyas Chazir, lo kenega Tzoyas Klavim, bizman shenas an eris l'teichan. The Braisa, rather the halacha is that with regards to Tzoyas Adam, it indeed is prohibited. But with regards to dog feces and pig feces and chicken feces, depending on the situation, it could be a chicken coop, which really stinks, it's different. But a regular, when is this very nogeya? This is very nogeya if a person goes to the kaisel, because there, the pigeons are always, sending presents from above. And and there's always feces around. They started a couple years ago, they put those metal things on the wall, so it helps a bit. That it used to be, you would go to the kaisel, it was a good chance that they would make on you. And you'd be davening in your middle and suddenly plop on your hat or towels or whatever. Now they put those metal spikes, so it happens a lot less. But, afalpikain, there's feces everywhere. And they clean it up a lot. They have these guys who are there 24/7 cleaning it up. But, are you allowed to daven? The answer is yes. It's not considered feces. And the only feces that it's considered is from a cat or a human. Yeah, but it has nothing to do with the smell. This is feces, even if there's no smell. So the first brisa said that it's usser. Can I get to this kind of guy? So that would kamat prohibit you from davening at the kaisel. But lamaisa we don't pass. Lamaisa says Rava the halacha is not like that. It's only prohibited if by tzeis chazir and tzeis klavim bizman shenasan oris l'teichan. Back in the day, a way to manufacture hides and turn them into was by steeping them in feces. So that really stank. So at that point, it would be prohibited even for the feces itself. But regular animal feces is not a problem. They ask from Sheshes, Reach Rasha ain't like ikr. If you have a bad smell, that has no ikr. In other words, somebody passed gas. Mahu, what's the din? Amalei, no problem. Asu, come, chazu, see. Hani tzipe debe rav, these mats of my yeshiva. The hanu garnu, some boys are sleeping. The hanu garsi, and some boys are learning. In other words, they had either some sort of cycle that there was learning 24/7, like they had in Velazhen yeshiva, or they had some boys stayed up late and some boys got up early. Whether this was 24 hours or whether this was parts of the day, but there was some time of the day that some boys were sleeping and some boys were learning. And Rashi explains that it's very normal for sleeping people to pass gas, and therefore, nevertheless, it didn't disturb those learning. So we see that it's not a problem if somebody to learn or daven in an area where it stinks. That's specifically for Torah, but Kriyat Shema lo, you shouldn't. That's only if your friend did it, but yourself, Aval today, lo, you should wait till the smell dissipates. Itmar, Tzoya Iveres, if Tzoya is if a person is carrying, let's say, tzoya in a bag or whatever, not in a bag, but he's carrying, let's say, an open pan of tzoya, like a bed pan. Abaya Amar Mutta Likras Krishma, it is permitted to read Krishma in front of it because it's moving. Rava Amar Asa Likras Krishma, it is prohibited to read Krishma in front of it. You have to wait till it passes. Amar Abaya says, Mino Aminola, how do I know this? From the halachas of Tumas Nigyoyim, the Tanan, if the halacha is, if you have a person who has tzora'as, he's a nega, and he is in a house, so he is mitama the house. There's similar halachas to a nega as to a mace. It's less. It's not as severe as mace, but nevertheless, it is similar that it'll be mitama things under the same oihel. However, that is only if the tame person is parked there. If he happens to be walking with you under a overhanging tree. So if a person has a kezias of a mace walking with you, so then the mace automatically shoots up, is matama everything there, nothing to talk about. However, if it's with a nega, it's only if the guy's parked there. So if you're walking with him, or let's say you're driving on the 9 in Lakewood, where, famously Kohanim have to get out of the right lane when they pass 8th Street because there's an overhanging branch over a cemetery. Over here, too, they say it's on Pratt, they say this one. But Pratt, the other side of the other side of McCormick. They say Kahanim can't go. But in Lakewood, I know people are mocked, but not to drive in the right lane on the right, on the 9 going north. So that's, if you have, let's say, a guy who's a nega driving with you, there's no problem. He has to be parked. He has to be sitting there. So Hatame Oymid Tachazilin, if Tame is standing, he's parked underneath a tree, the Hatahar Oyver, and a Tahar person is passing her, Tame, then he transmits tumah to the tamei person. However, the tahar is, I mean, if the tahar person is parked under the tree tachasilin, the tamei ever, and the tamei guy passes by, he's tahar. The im amad, but if he stops, then the taka transmits tumah. The chain be'evan emenugas, and similarly, if a stone has tumah, has tumas tzaras, same idea, same halachas. It has to be parked there. So too, over here, tzaya, it's specifically if it's parked. If it's passing, it's not a problem. Over there, it's tali in being parked there, in this being your place. And saras transmits tumah when from its place. But if it's walking, it's not its place. As it states, that his place should be outside by himself, outside of the machane. Over here, it says that you should have a holy camp. And you don't. There's tzaya right in front of you. Amar Papa states, or Papa, pi chazir kitzoya everes dami. The mouth of a chazir is like tzoya, is like the halachas of tzoya everes, and you cannot say kriya shema in front of a pig. He says, pshita, of course, it's covered in feces, probably. He says, letzira, even though it was just, I just went to the bath, it went to the local pet bath, avagav the salik minahara, it left the river, it's totally clean, relatively. Nevertheless, the mouth of a pig is a din of tzoya. Well, certainly in the zoo, I'm saying they stink over there. I'm talking even if they were just totally clean, they came out of a bath, off that, you know, that store on Tui that shampoos. Now they come to your house. They saw this huge truck, dog shampooing and everything. They do it in the back of the truck. Great idea for our business. But even if they just finished shampooing him and curling the hair and everything, Aval Pikein, it is. Oh, sir. Amar Rav Yehuda, to read Kriya Shema in front of it. I'm not saying to own it. It's a different story. If God owning a pig is asur, it's the one animal that you can't own. Amar Rav Yehuda, Safik Tzaya Asura. Safik Tzaya, if a person is not sure whether or not there's feces in the area, it is prohibited to read Kriya Shema because that's a diaraisa. Safik Meir Glayim, if a person is not sure if there is urine in the area, then it's mutarim. Ikida Amri, there are those that say, Amar Rav Yehuda, Safik Tzaya Bebayis, if it's in a house, then it's mutaris, because probably. Chances are nobody went right in the living room. Ba'ashpa, but if it's in the garbage, in the behind the house, then the suffix is asura. Suffix may reglaim, however, by may reglaim, even if it's in the back of the house, even if a filu ba'ashpa is nami mutar, and is also, as long as it's a suffix, you can rely that maybe it's not it. Savarla, why? Because he held ki had the Rav Hamnuna, like Rav Hamnuna said. The Amar Rav Hamnuna, lo asur tera ela keneged amud bilvad. The isur the arisa to read in front of urine is only during the act of urination while somebody is urinating. Then it is prohibited to read Kriya Shema neged the flowing urine. However, Ukud Rabbi Yonason, like Rabbi Yonason learned from the Pesukim. Rabbi Yonason Ramiksev. Rabbi Yonason had a stira in the Pesukim. It says, "V'yad tihel lecha michutz l'machana v'yatzas Hashem chutz." It says that in order to relieve oneself, he should go out of the camp. And the second pasuk says that you should go out and cover the feces. The first pasuk didn't talk about covering the feces. Okay, it said, "Kan begedaylim, kan begetanim." Says Rabbi Yonason, the answer is because for gedaylim, there you have to cover it. But for katanim, you don't have to cover it. So we see that the Torah is not really makbid on pooled urine. Pooled urine is not a problem. Only feces on the ground. That's when you can say kriyashma kinegated. But on urine, the Torah doesn't care. It's the Rabbanan who care. The Rabbanan are the ones who made a rule against pooled urine. So therefore, any suffix, the Rabbanan is mutter. But a suffix, the arise is asr. Alma ketanim le aser tayor. The ketanim did not prohibit saying kriya shema in front of it. Ela keneged amud bilvad. It's only keneged the stream because it says go out of the camp. We see it says go out of the camp, but we see it doesn't say you have to cover it. So we see that the actual stream of urine is not considered kaddish. But after landing on the ground in a pool, there not a problem. That would be by tumah. That's a specific halacha by tumah. Yeah, not my right. Hanafula Arab, but once it's pooled on the ground, once it falls on the ground, it's shari. But Rabbanan who the gazri by who? And the Rabbanan are the ones who made a gazera against it. Vechi gazru bahu Rabbanan. And when did the Rabbanan make a gazera against it? Bevadon. Only when it's certainly a urine. Aval bespeker, but if it's a sofik, like gazru. They did not make a gazera. Here it's mashma that they didn't even make a gazera by sofik. It's funny. Even if they made a gazera, but like sofik. Any sofik, the Rabbanan is mutter. Says the Gemara, ubevadon ad kama. How? If it's definitely urine, until what point is it prohibited? Midrabanan. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel calls man shemat pichin. If it's still wet, v'chein Amar Rabba Bar Chanan Amar Bichin calls man shemat pichin. If he could still feel the wetness, v'chein Amar Ula calls man shemat pichin. Since somebody says Ula, Geneva, somebody's name, If you learn Gittin, it comes up like five times. Mishmei de Rav Omar, and even the name of Rav says, Kozman Sheri Shuman Nicker, any time that, even if it's not wet anymore, but you could still see the outline on the ground. You could still see the Rishum, the outline. Omar of Yosef, Sharalim Arele Geneva. Hashem should forgive Geneva. Oh, he's being way too machmer. Now that by Tzoya, Rabbi Yehuda Marav says that it's not a problem, that as soon as it starts to karmu paneha, which means to like get some sort of not coating, what?
Crusted.
Yeah, excellent. So it gets a drop. Oh, that it starts to crust up. It's permitted. In other words, even though it's still there. So then Meraglayim, which the Torah itself was only makbid on the actual flow, you think the Rabbanan Miboy, the Rabbanan went so far that it can't even be Rishum Nikr, that even if it's not wet anymore, but it's just Rishum and Nikr, that's when it's Usur. Amalei Bayi, who says that's true by feces? My chazis de samecha saha. What do you see that the samecha saha, that you're relying on this psak, that feces is mutter as soon as it starts to crust over? Smoicha ha. Perhaps rely on a different test to determine when it becomes mutter, a much more chumradika test. The Amar Rav Abba Bar Huna, Amar Rav Tzoya, feces, afilu kecheres is asura. Even if it is so dry and so old that it is like pottery, it is still prohibited, so long as it's there. What is considered tzoya kecheres? Amar Rav Abba Bar Chana, Amar Rav Yechanan, kolz man shezorkov einu nufreches. If you would throw it and it doesn't come apart, from the throw. V'ikid amri, there are those that say, kozman shegoyla, if you roll it, ve'ein enefrechas, and it doesn't come apart. But the point is, that it is still considered feces at that point. Okay. I know these are gross subjects, but the mindset, the halacha is, do you have to say kriyashma again, or not?
Don't throw a bun and make gazeres when there's something. They do it all the time.
Okay.
So why here, then? Why is it different that sometimes they do and sometimes they don't? But they don't make these there. But let's say you're going on a road and we don't know if there's bones. They say you shouldn't go on that. Yeah.
No, they made a gazera there specifically in the case of a suffix.
That's a suffix.
No. That's not confusing.
There's no
bones. Okay, I'll deal with it in 3 minutes. I just wanna. But there's a big difference. One, they made a gazera in a muckum suffix. Here, they made a gazera. It's a whole different. Okay, well, we'll talk about it in a second. Amar Ravina, Havi Ka'imna Kemet, Rabbi Yehuda, was standing in front of Rabbi Huna Midifte, Chazat Tzoya, he saw Tzoya. Amar Li, Ayan, go look, please. I would like to daven here. Do I have to move? Go look at Ikarma Baneh, if it has a crust or not, Eloy or not. Ikid Amri, Haki Amar Li, there are those that say he said to him as follows. Ayan, go look. Imeflaye Aplui, if it has some cracks in it. So we see a practical situation where they were makel to as soon as it starts to get a crust. My havi Allah, what's the mice of the din? Itmar was stated, soya kecheres. Soya is prohibited until it becomes like a cheres, until it becomes that flaky. Amemar says, Amemar says if it gets that dried that it would come apart, then Amemar says it's Asur, and Rabbi Sutra says that at that point it becomes Mutter. Amar Rava, Hilchasad, Halach is Tzoya Kecheres, is Asura. Umeraglayim, however, with urine, Kozman Shemat Bichin, if that area is still wet, then it is Asur, otherwise it is Mutter. Meisve, Meiraglayim, Kozman Shemat Bichin, Asur. Meisve, questions to Gemara from the following Brisa. Meiraglayim, Kozman Shemat Bichin, is Asurin. Nivlu. If it's still wet, it's usher. But if it gets absorbed into the ground, or yavshu, or it dries, it's mutarim, it's permitted. My love, nivlu'u dumit yavshu. Do we not say that nivlu'u is compared to the case of yavshu? My yavshu, just like yavshu, the ain rishum a nicker, it is no longer nicker. It is no longer, the outline is no longer nicker. It's totally dry. Af nivlu'u sotu, where it got absorbed, it's the ain rishum a nicker. So in other words, there's two different, one would be, let's say, yavshu would be, let's say you did it on the hard linoleum floor of the kitchen. Like, who missed the bathroom again? And one is where you did it on the, where you were absorbed in the backyard. So you saw, so different situations. By the way, this is very nagia for anybody with kids also. Harishum and Nikr would be also, so there's two different types of places where it could get absorbed. Are they not the same? That Yavshu, that is totally dry, the floor is dry, you may, but But and so Nivlu is also where the floor is totally dry, and it's not even Rishuma Nikar. But if it would be Rishuma Nikar, it would be Usr. Afalgav the Ein Matbichin, even though it is not wet anymore. I'm not really sure I hear Akash. I mean, we had an opinion already before, not like this. So I guess is this the first Brisa we mentioned? This must be the first Brisa that we mentioned. So the Gemara is asking from the Brisa. The Gemara says, Uli Tamech, according to your reasoning, look at the Reisha. Hey, Reisha, it says, Kozman Shem Matbichin, if it's still wet. Huda Asa, that's when it's Asa. Harishuma Nikar, but we could be Medaik, that if it's no longer wet, but it's still some sort of recognizable, the outline is still there, then it would be permitted. So you have a deek from the Reisha, not like me. But I have a deek from the Sefer, not like me. But I have a deek from the Reisha. So that Brisa, you cannot take Ella Miha from this Brisa, Lekka Lamashma Mina, we cannot learn anything from. Because there's a stira in the Yukim, so. Let us say that it's a machlekas tanoyim. Kli shenishbechu mimenu meiraglayim. If you have a bedpan that the meiraglayim spilled from it, as likras kriyashma kenegda, it is prohibited to re-kriyashma in front of it. This is probably in front. This is in front of the empty bedpan. Umeiraglayim atzman, the actual urine shenishbechu that spills, nivlu'u, if it gets swallowed up by the ground, mutter, loy nivlu'u, if it does not get swallowed up, it is still there, it is prohibited, it is usur. Rabbi Yossi says, kozman shematpichin, it depends if it's still wet or not. So now, what is my nivlu'u, my loy nivlu'u, the kamar tanakama, what is the nivlu'u that the tanakama says? Ilema nivlu'u de'in matpichin, loy nivlu'u de matpichin, if you want to say that it means matpichin or not. Okay, I'm just going to continue after he finishes the brachas because there's two dots right on top of my base. Alright, extreme times call for extreme measures. So if Asar of Yaisi Lame Kozman Shabat Pichan who the Asar Harishum and Nikar Sharis, then Hainu Tanakama. If you say that it's depending on Matpichan, so then that's the Tanakama, there's no machlekas. Ela Nivlu'u must mean the Ain Rishum and Nikar, means that you cannot tell anymore. Lord Nivlu'u means the Rishum and Nikar. So if Asar of Yaisi Lame Kozman Shabat Pichan who the Asar Harishum and Nikar Shari. So we see, isn't that a machlekas? And the Gemara says, Loi, the Kuliyama, it's Taka means if you feel it, it's wet or not. Kozman Shabat Pichan who the Asar Harishum and Nikar Mutter, everybody agrees that if it's swallowed up to the point that it's no longer wet, it's permitted. Everybody agrees that it has to be somewhat wet. The question is, how wet? Is it wet enough that you can touch it and see, whoa, my fingers are wet? So besides for being gross, you also can't say Kriya Shema at that point. That's the machlokes between the Tanakama and Rabbi Yossi. I will stop over here for the day. Have a great one.